The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I've bought several properties out of state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you can do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today features episode 156 with the founders of PhD Homes, Justin Palmer and Terrell Hall. These brothers have been developing a neighborhood of 32 homes and 202 apartments in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I think this is a great story about how when we own our own, how we get to do what we want to do with it. And these brothers are the living example of that. So let's get into it. The Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight, episode 156. Let's go.
One thing that I found really exciting in my research is the name of the streets. Mm-hmm. So Toussaint and Dessalines streets. And so for those who don't know, Toussaint Louverture and Jean-Jacques Dessalines were two leaders of the Haitian Revolution. My parents are from Haiti, so I was even more excited about this episode mm-hmm. once I heard that. But I would love to hear more about, you know, why you decided to name the streets of the community after those two. Let's hear from you, Justin.
So, I read this piece of literature, The Black Jacobins. I hope I'm like saying it right, but I read this piece of literature maybe 3 years ago, and it sent me down this, like, I just fell in love with like the Haitian Revolution and what it stood for, and Toussaint and Dessalines, and like although they're not Americans, they're not Black Americans, but they tell the story of the greatest story of these Black people, like beating oppression, beating the strongest forces in the world, you know, the French government, the Spanish government, the British government, and like liberating Santo Domingo, which is Haiti, the founders of Haiti, you know. And so those people became my heroes because they had done the most extraordinary thing that I ever like thought of or saw. It's just they did the most amazing things. And where we live in Louisiana and most of the South, there are lots of neighborhoods named plantation this and plantation that, right? Mm. And so the developer gets to choose the name of the neighborhood. So we chose the name of our neighborhood, right? You name your things after your heroes. You memorialize things that are important to you. And so it was important for us to memorialize our heroes, right? So anybody who doesn't know who Toussaint Louverture or Dessalines is should probably know, you know? Yeah.
Love it. We can end the episode there. love it. So you mentioned that the land was like wooded. So this it was like woods
before. Yeah, all trees, woods, you know, nothing is there.
Wow. So once you get the green light, what is that process like to just get rid of all of that, create the lots and stuff. Like, can you guys walk us through what that process is? Because for a lot of people, it's hard to, you drive by on the freeway, you drive by woods, mm-hmm. you don't think nothing of it, but obviously you got to have a vision to be able to see what that could become. Right. So I'm curious, like, what's that process from like trees and woods to land and so on?
Finding key subcontractors to be able to handle the task at hand, identifying the ones that can handle clearing 20 acres at one time or 5 acres or however you phase in your project, being able to put your schedule together with your different subcontractors to make it all plat and work together, the process is kind of each city, each area is different. Mm-hmm. So the process for Shreveport or the process for Keyville or Greenwood, they all had different pieces to the puzzle, but it's the same, if I could say it in so many words. But just finding, really working with key subcontractors is important. Knowing not to hire your D&F contractors, but that's a whole nother story, whole nother episode,
So there's a multitude of subcontractors and professional services. There's a multitude of engineering and architecture. There's a, I won't say that it's complex because I don't want to discourage anyone, right? But developing is not as simple as it may seem, but it's not difficult once you learn. But there's lots of upfront expenses, engineering, architecture, like zoning changes, lawyers, fees, just there's a lot to it and a lot of moving pieces and right. Beautiful thing. And so you even have like streets and drainage. It's a lot of things that come into play when you like developing a neighborhood. A lot of those things are like, it's like playing the orchestra. So me and Terrell talk about this all the time. So, mm-hmm. and I always joke with him, but I tell him, I say, Terrell, they play instruments, but me and you, we play the orchestra, And so it's playing an orchestra. It's exactly what it is. You have like dirt and bulldozers and heavy machinery working while you have engineers and architects on the left side working, mm-hmm. and it all plays like music, Yeah.
Right. And your in-house staff, our in-house staff is great, is incredible. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it by ourselves. You see us out front, but we got a staff of, 10 plus people that's worked full time for us in the office to make sure all the pieces of the puzzle is moving. Yeah. So really having your team is key. You can't do it. You can't come over here talking about developing. You don't have a full time accountant. You can't come talking about developing. You don't have the proper project managers. Right. You can't talk about developing if you ain't got your human resources intact. And so having a full time team that's like to have your back. We always talk about we win the Super Bowl. We all in this, everybody's playing their position. Yep. So we could go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's interior infrastructure, and then you have like outside people that you like, you have to use, you have to collaborate with other institutions that, that behave similar to your institution, right? Mm-hmm. You also have the pressure of using people who you wouldn't particularly choose to use, but you feel pressured and obligated, right? Mm-hmm. So we have this thing that we say, before we hire you, get the first base. Got to get the first base first, right? If we're going to give you a chance, you're going to come work for us or work with us, we need you to put some form of work in, Mm-hmm. We need you to have, done something.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people want opportunity without putting in the work. Hey, give me the opportunity, but they haven't done the prerequisite to be ready for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
So that's all a part of like making the trees being removed is that, hey, you're on first base. Yeah. You ready and you can handle this, but you have to see the prerequisite. You have to know, we have to know that, hey, you really want this. Like, this is what you do. Cause you can get out there and use the wrong subcontractor.
Yeah.
And you end up worse than you right. end because, believe it or not, while the tree's still standing, you're already $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in before wow. you even move a tree.
Wow.
You know, and so that's real important for us is that you be on first base. Now, if you're on second base, it's even better.
Yeah.
But right. being on first base, you know, we love giving a lot of people opportunities. We big on that. Mm-hmm. We big on growing your brand. We big on helping and assisting. But all we ask you to do is be on first base first.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.